You're on the air.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Brother Bill, Sister Barbara Dozier. Thank you, God, for being on planet Earth. Thank you for loving kindness, the tender mercy, and most of all, for the undying forgiveness. And just thanking God for you every Thursday. It's such a blessing to hear your voice. Thanking God for my WHCR family, those I know by name, those I don't know by name. Just thanking God for everything and everybody. It's such a blessing. I haven't been to church in about 2 months. It's hard to get up down these steps. I live up steps. But I thank him anyway. I just give all my praises to him.
Well, you have church on Thursday morning.
Every Thursday. Yes, I do. It's a blessing to hear your voice and be blessed. And you said somebody passed away?
Bishop Beckett used to be the pastor of Love Tabernacle.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
I knew him well. Sure, I used to go to his church.
Uh-huh. All right, thank you.
Okay, and be blessed.
Likewise.
Take care.
Good morning. This is Brother Bill, WHCR. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. This is Diana Sheets.
Hi, I'm so glad you joined us. I was having a little problem on this end reaching you. How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
So listen, you know, you actually, you called right on time, as always. It seems the way things happen around here. You know, this, Blagojevich,
I know his name is really hard.
Blagojevich thing. How is this affecting the president-elect?
Oh, I think that Barack Obama's going to be fine with this. The person who's really under the gun on this
Jesse
is Jesse
Jr.
Jackson.
Oh, yeah. See, he's candidate number five.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, if from he's already retained a lawyer. And he's in a mess. I wouldn't want to predict what the outcome is going to be.
No, because if it does go the wrong way, his present seat is in danger.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now tell us, you had a pretty different. I'm sorry. Let's back up. We're talking like we're old friends. Let's let everybody out there know first who you are, and that you're going to give us a different outlook on the Obama victory.
Okay. My name is Diana Sheets, and I have a web site called Literary Gulag. And since August, I've been posting monthly essays on the election about how story or narrative influences how people vote.
Okay. Well, tell us.
Okay. I'll be happy to do that. There was a bunch of very interesting studies that were done by liberals. The first one was by George Lakoff, who's a linguist, and it's called Moral Politics. And the argument that he made is basically that people, that politics are really derived from how you were raised. And so liberal politics, according to this perspective, it really is a nurturing worldview, and in the nurturing worldview, you're concerned with things like love, empathy, nurturance, fulfill, happiness. Those are sort of the key words that key
feel
into
good,
your worldview.
Feel good things.
Exactly, and the conservative worldview is represented as a patriarchal, tough, disciplinary father. So the words that are used for that vocabulary would be words like character, virtue, discipline, self-reliance, backbone. And so these are fundamentally different worldviews.
Now, these are also code words as well.
Well, code words in the sense that they reflect underlying whole world perspectives.
Right.
That tap into your subconscious values that many times you're not even aware of.
Now, when you realize that my audience is primarily African-American and Latino, and we have a history of wanting to feel good about our politics. We want to feel good about our politicians.
Right. And also, I think for many minority audiences, there's voters, there's the sense that, you know, traditionally the perception is that the conservatives have not represented interests. And this was also reflected in the voting trends in this election.
Sure. Now, how about the factors now that present themselves when you look at the cabinet that President-elect Obama has selected? Do you see him moving somewhat from that leftist feel-good position to more of a centrist, gonna run this thing attitude?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I think, so far, the commentators on both sides of the perspective have been really surprised. He's been picking really, excellent choices. By the way, as did Bill Clinton, but Timothy Geithner,
yeah.
Your head of your New York Federal Reserve, is,
right.
is going to be the Treasury Secretary. Excellent choice. Lawrence Summers, who was the former Treasury Secretary at the very end of the Clinton administration, is going to be the director of the National Economic Council. You couldn't ask for better choices.
There's just one person that I'm kind of like, I won't say uncomfortable with, but I'm just very, very curious about, and that's Gates.
Gates. I actually think Gates, look, we're in very, very difficult times, and I think Gates was he was looking for continuity, and I actually think Gates is an excellent choice.
Oh, no doubt, but let's take it back a little further. How about Gates under Jimmy Carter? As far as his position, as far as placing us pretty much almost where we are today, Gates under Reagan, Gates under Bush the Elder.
Okay. Well, I think right now, look, if right now he's only promised, I believe, to have him for the first year as a transition person. But I think you'll be surprised. I think Obama wants to make sure there's a stability as he moves forward, and one of the potential weaknesses that people had talked about before he was elected is his position overseas and in foreign policy, and Gates lends credibility. Also,
that he does.
If you think back to Joe Biden's sort of gaffe when he talked about that Obama would be tested within the first 6 months, really a disaster
yes.
of thing to say. I think Gates, the appointment of Gates basically says, don't try us, don't
right.
test us like that.
I would go with that. I would go with that as well, especially when you look and see now in today's headlines where we're talking about sending thousands more troops into Afghanistan.
Yep.
The shift is going to be from Iraq to Afghanistan. And I also am concerned, though, sincerely concerned about the placement of the missiles throughout Europe. This is a direct confrontation, at least, I won't say philosophically, you're putting missiles in somebody's backyard, to Putin. I think that Putin is going to have to stand up to something, because he felt the same way about putting missiles in Georgia as we felt about Khrushchev putting missiles in Cuba.
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, Russia recently has been getting so much stronger, and they want to really test their refound political strength. But it's not clear to me what Obama will do when he's president, whether he'll actually pursue that policy or not. So it's hard for me to predict. I don't think that's right now one of his top agendas.
Okay, I'll say. Now, what about the Latin American threat? We're looking at Chavez and his cozying up, if you will, to Putin. The possibility of Putin setting up shop in Venezuela.
Yeah, well, Chavez maybe it'll be very interesting to see whether he lasts. I mean, he has had increasing corruption. And there have been, and he basically is unwilling to step down and is almost trying to institute himself as a Latin American dictator. So
yeah, well, he's looking at Cuba.
You're right, right. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
None of us do, of course. We're all prognosticators here. Though,
right, right. Well, and the New York Times had an article, I think in their magazine section, talking about really asking Obama to rethink the Cuban issue. And maybe he will. It's hard to know. Right now, I don't think it's the very top issue on the agenda. And also, he doesn't want to get into unnecessarily polarizing politics. So, and Cuba may be one of those.
Especially with the Miami population being as it is.
Exactly.
But see, the concern, though, that a lot of people seem to have is the, again, as I mentioned, to repeat again, the cozying up between Putin and Venezuela.
Right.
And the fact that we have Venezuela right here, Venezuela oil, gasoline, right here in New York City.
Right.
You
right.
see. So in other words, that from a psychological point of view, from a on-the-ground point of view, Chavez is here.
Yes. Well, that's a very good point. I have to say I'm watching with everyone else to see how that's going to unfold. I think the big issues, if I were to pick I mean, obviously oil is a huge issue.
Indeed.
And I think energy independence certainly will be one of the central focuses of the Obama administration.
When we look at the provinces in the former Soviet Union that seem to be places of interest for us, they all have one thing in common: the pipeline runs through all of them.
Yep, and of course there's been a number of very interesting foreign foreign study analysis. And what they've basically pointed out is that Europe has really become very, very dependent on Russian oil.
Yes.
And Russia is not afraid to use that to control Europe. So I think one of the concerns is that Europe is going to be less and less in control of its own destiny unless it finds a way to achieve energy independence from
and
Russia.
That way to achieve energy independence is to allow us to put missiles in their backyard.
You're right about that, Bill.
You see, so to allow them to have access to those oil, and we need that oil pipeline as well.
Right.
We don't want someone who, here we go, listen to this. I can't say this anymore. We don't want someone who doesn't look like us. I can't say that. I can say now that we want someone who doesn't think like us
right.
to have control over that oil.
Right. Right. Well, it'll be very interesting. The one thing I will say about Putin is he's a very, very smart man.
Oh, please. That's an understatement. The man was headed his KGB.
Yes. And but I'll go back to the fact that Obama will have very, very good people that he'll be working with, and they'll have a lot of experience. He will have tapped into many people under the Clinton administration and other people. So he's building quite an impressive brain trust, and that will give him the information, I hope, to make wise decisions.
You mentioned Clinton. How do you feel about the Hillary appointment?
I think it's excellent. And I, from what I read and saw on news media outlets, I think most people think she's an excellent choice. And, of course, she's more conservative than he is.
Yes, she is, extremely.
Yep, but I think that's okay. I think Obama has a very strong sense of where America is, and America is in the center. And people voted for him who were traditionally more conservative out of fears and concerns about the economy, and I'm sure that that's going to be the main focus of his administration.
Would you say the voters on the left, the extreme left, are somewhat disappointed by this turn toward the center?
Well, yes, they are, but I think...
Too bad, right?
Right. First of all, he hasn't even set... hasn't been one day in power, and it seems unreasonable for them to have these expectations before he's even done anything. And I think... look, you have to have a realistic sense of what a president can do. And,
sure.
And if he wants to truly reach out to all Americans, he's going to have a more centrist policy.
Sure.
But I think what Americans are hoping for is these are very, very scary times.
Yes,
and
they are.
What you hope from a Democratic president is that he will try to do measures that will take some of the hurt that is being felt in America by ensuring that the economy gets back as quickly as possible.
Hold on one second. I think I have a caller. Good morning. Are you calling in to talk to Dr. Sheets?
Well, this is Reverend Sue Jay. How are you?
Hi. We have Dr. Diana Sheets on the line, and we're discussing the Obama victory and his ascension to the presidency.
Well, good morning, Doctor. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So much. I've heard so much about you, and we just thank you for being with us today. Thank you.
The last question that was thrown out was, did we think there was a, that the left, the folks on the extreme liberal left, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Are disappointed in the centrist turn that Obama has taken?
You know, there's going to be someone always disappointed. Cher once said, you know, you can't please everyone. You can try to be pleasing, but you cannot please everyone. He has to make the best moves, executive moves, to run this nation that he deems possible. He surrounded himself with the people who know the business. Government is a business, you know, and you have to go in knowing who the players are. So, yes, there's some disappointment, but on the other side, the flip side, having been in that system and worked at the White House,
yes.
You would need to be surrounded by people who are brilliant. One person can never have it all, and so that's why you have cabinet and advisors, and I think he's making the right move.
Dr. Sheets, you know, this is Reverend Dr. Suzanne Johnson Cook, who was a White House fellow under Clinton.
Ah. Well, it's a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you. I was on domestic policy council, so I was right up in there. And, you know, it's a tough place to be. It's 16-hour days every day.
Yep.
You know, you're running not only this nation, but you're, you know, the most important person in the free world.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, he's got a lot of pulls on him, but he's starting quickly and he's starting consistently, and I'm with him.
Yep.
I'm saluting the brother.
All right, and let's see. I can do it this way. Dr. Cook, you can call me back in about 10 minutes. I'm going to finish up with Dr. Sheets.
Thank
then I'll be exclusively yours.
Blessings to you, Dr. Sheets.
Nice to talk with you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye. Fine.
All right. Yeah, that was Reverend Dr. Susan Johnson Cook, a White House fellow under President Clinton.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, don't you also see that, or would you agree, that placing Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State, that takes her away from being a sharpshooter or a potential candidate as well, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, but I think that was really pretty much decided when when Obama got the nomination. And it was very, very important to pick her because had the Democrats been the candidate been elected the way the Republicans did, where they gave all electoral votes to the winner, then she would have emerged as the candidate. So he really had to give her something major.
I agree. I believe if it hadn't gone that way, she would have. In fact, you know, I was afraid at the very end that there might have been a floor fight.
Yep.
Which she would have won, because how we know. But when she, the statements, the words are very important, as we know, that when she said that she had just suspended her campaign, she didn't say she ended it, she stopped it.
Yep.
She said she had suspended her campaign. And that was a signal, I believe, to those who are supporters of Miss Hillary, as I call her affectionately.
Okay.
That she still was in this thing, and there still was a possibility of her to pull it out. But I think that everything's going well. The other thing, making the UN ambassador a cabinet post, I think is important as far as setting a worldwide standard for where we're going.
Well, I certainly think in that sense, Obama will move decidedly away from where President Bush has, you know, the position Bush has taken over the last 8 years. He really wants to bring America back into the UN fold, and that would certainly be one way to do it.
Indeed. Well, Dr. Sheets, I want to thank you for taking time out to join us this morning on WHCR. And tell my listeners again how they can read more of what you have to say or get in touch with you, as it were.
Okay, Bill. If they go and do a search under Diana Sheets, they'll find my name comes up, and I have a website called Literary Gulag, like the Russian Gulag,
uh-huh.
And it has monthly essays about literary criticism and political commentary, and since August and through December, and then in January I'll have an essay on journalism, then I'll probably go back to literary criticism again, but I hope your listeners take a look at it. It's a very interesting website.
And I thank you so much for joining us, and I will have you back again.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, have a great day. Thank
yep.
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we had Dr. Diana Sheets with us this morning, and she was discussing her perspective on the Obama victory, and we pretty much agree on the same thing. And, of course, as luck would have it, our beloved Reverend Dr. Susan Johnson Cook also called in, so she's going to call us back, though, because she has a couple of important things that she wants to tell us about as well. And we'll be right back with more music after these very important messages. Stand by.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screens. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to AHRQ.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
And they don't even break a sweat.
What are you doing? Filling out a loan application?
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
Hey, Tommy.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Credit fairy on dust. Can you imagine that?
Have you ever had a lover that was so good you forgive his presence for anything?
Who is she, Kevin? Huh?
She's no one.
Is that your
She's
other
nobody.
Woman?
I'm
huh?
telling you.
Then tell that chick to stop calling.
You're overreacting, son.
No,
listen
no,
to me.
Listen to me. I've been dating you for 10 years, and you are not going to treat me like this.
What do you do when the love of your life won't commit?
Are you sure you want this man? My spell is going to get him for you. But the spirits say that this man is not the one.
The 10-Year Date by Sharon Sanderson.
You dumped Carl for Kevin? Oh, Shauna, he treated you like a princess. How could you?
I love Carl, but I'm not in love with him.
What happens when you discover a lie?
Shauna, I want to celebrate my commitment to you.
What happens when someone has a secret?
Kevin, are you there? Kevin, I'm early. Oh, my God.
Shauna, wait. It's not
no,
what you think.
Get away from me.
The 10-Year Date, Sex, Secrets, and Lies.
He's in there with the credit fairy with a blue gown on.
Follow up to her debut novel, Sunshine Has Rain.
The 10-Year Date by Sharon Henderson is available wherever books are sold.
Lord have mercy. All I can say behind it is, how you doing? They're the 3G Experience. Candy Staten with a blue gown on and long white gloves and high heels.
Everything you ever worked for. Everyone
can't get too low. He'll pick you up.
Father of mercies and God of all comfort, our only help in time of need, we humbly beseech thee to behold, visit, and relieve thy sick servant, Pamela Mann, for whom our prayers are desired. Look upon her with thee, with thine eyes of thy mercy, and comfort her with a sense of thy goodness. Preserve her from the temptations of the enemy, and give her patience under her affliction. In thy good time, restore her to health, and enable her to lead the residue of her life in thy fear and to thy glory, and grant that she may dwell with thee in life everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. We lift up our sister Pamela Mann, who is recovering from a cerebral vascular accident at this time. So keep Pamela Mann in your prayers. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Reverend Dr.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay. Yeah, you know, we're keeping Pamela Mann in our prayers.
Yes.
She's recovering.
Yes, I've been praying for her, and thank you for reminding our audience.
Yes. Yes. And the other side of it is that we also, one of your neighbors made his transition.
Who is that?
Bishop Beckett.
Oh, my goodness. My
yeah.
prayers for the family.
He's right down the block there at 9:30, you know.
Yeah.
And, so and ironically, I was in 9:30 not too long ago because there's other recuperative activity going on in 9:30. And I didn't even know that Bishop Beckett had made his transition. He's a nice, nice
yeah.
person.
Well, your audience needs to know we grew up in the same neighborhood. Dad, Billy's dad was one of the famous like New York celebs, and my mom and dad were kind of, you know, village people. So we all hung out together, and it's wonderful to see how the Lord has us again walking together.
My father really liked you. He had had great plans for you.
I know he did. I liked your dad. He was so, his stature was just like so, you know, he was like a regal. He was royalty, you know. When Mr. DeFawcett came around and the 369th Army and all that, I mean, it was like we felt like proud to be everything, proud.